Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. You Are Life by Bao Fei. Illustrated by Hannah Lee. You are life, a raft, a lighthouse, an outstretched hand. The picture that goes with this page shows the ocean with little paper boats floating on the water. It shows the beach with rocks on it. And in the background, there's a lighthouse on top of a cliff that is red and white striped. Up close to us in the picture are two hands. One is of a child with a blue sleeve on part of the arm that we can see, and the other one is a child with an orangey-colored shirt that has squiggly lines and dots on it. You are not a virus. You are a seed. When you were born, you saved me. Now we see a grown-up man in long slacks and a blue plaid shirt, and he's in a garden pulling up cabbages, it looks like, and beside him is a little girl in jeans and a white t-shirt that has a yellow dot on the front of it, and she's holding out to the grown-up a daisy that also has a yellow center. There are blue butterflies flying in the picture, and there's also a little blue bird up on the fence. You are not forever foreign. You are immigrant. Born here, adopted, refugee, you fled a war. We see a two-story apartment building that's brick. It has stairs that go up outside of the building to different landings. On one of the stair banisters, there's a cat. In one of the windows, we see a girl writing in a notebook in her room. In another picture, we see a mama expecting a baby and someone that's kneeling down and has his hands on her tummy listening to the baby move. We see another little boy in a window. He has darker skin and curly hair, and he's holding out breadcrumbs to a bird. We see two more people in another picture, in another window, I should say, that shows a birthday cake with a little girl and two people standing beside her celebrating. And then we see a boy in the last window who's making a paper airplane. You are a dance revolution in a field of rice. You are an ancestral dance flash mob in a mega mall parking lot. Now we see these children that we had noticed through the windows of the apartment building. They are all doing different kinds of dances, and around them are different kinds of foods from various countries. There are wontons, and there are sushi, and there's a bowl of rice, and there's pita bread. And behind them is a colorful wall that looks like it might be part of a mall, and there are all kinds of toys up on the top of the wall. A red dinosaur, a polka-dotted hat, a little elephant with a red hat on, and a rabbit, and a turtle. You are singing along to Korean pop songs, dancing along to a Bollywood scene. You are a language lost. In the front of the picture is the little girl that had the t-shirt with the yellow dot. Well, now the yellow dot has a face on it, so it's a smiley face. She's holding a microphone in her left hand, and across her front is strapped a guitar that has flames drawn on it. It's very fancy. Behind her are some other children who are dressed in the traditional clothing of other countries, like you would find in India, perhaps. And they're all dancing along as she sings. You are not a burden. In a basket of arms, you are the most precious thing. On one side of this picture, with a rainbow in the background, is a mom in a red skirt and little brown boots and her ponytail, and a man in a blue shirt and long pants. And between them, they are swinging a little boy up and down, you know, like children like to do with grown-ups when they're taking a walk, to be swung back and forth. That's what's happening here. On the other side of the picture, the girl that had been in the window where she was writing in her journal or a notebook is being thrown back and forth between two older brothers, or maybe it's a dad and a brother, and they are safely catching her as if so she looks like she's flying, but they're going to catch her. There are also seagulls in this picture. You are not an invader. You are the blanket fort hideout that no one has figured out how to make yet. You are papier-mâché beasts in a parade with friends on a spring day. Now these kids are all playing as if they've made a cave. They have some blankets and sheets that are strung out over the chair and up over a tall lamp. And inside their little fort or cave or tent, they are coloring. They're playing with toys. One of the girls is making a papier-mâché head of a bear. Papier-mâché is something you can have fun with art, where you put newspapers over a form and you put glue over them. And when it dries, it makes a special shape so you can have a helmet or a mask. Some of the other kids are playing with crayons, and some are reading books, and there is a puppy in this picture too. You are not invisible. You are not silent. You are hand-painted signs, people marching together in the street for a more just world. Now there are a whole lot of people in this picture. One of them is holding up a poster that looks like the globe. Another person in a wheelchair is holding up a fist like they're celebrating something. One of them is holding up a sign that has hearts and the peace sign on it. Another has a picture with three different faces on it, their poster. There's a boy that has a baseball cap on, and another kid in a yellow hoodie. They're just a whole bunch of people, and they're all indicating they want the world to be fair. You are a portrait of farting cats. The paint's still wet. The favorite art of your Ong Noi and Ba Noi. You are a story shaped like a spinning globe. Now, I think Ong Noi and Ba Noi are grandparents in another language. The children in this picture have balloons that they've blown up. And the boy who has the cat face drawn on his balloon has let it go. And you know how when you let a balloon lose the air, it does make a sound that sounds a little bit like farting, huh? And the kids are drawing, one little girl's drawing a globe on the balloon, and some have already painted butterflies and funny faces on their other balloons. One boy is trying very hard to blow up a balloon. It looks like it might pop on him. You are condensed water floating as a cloud. You are smoke from the incense lit to honor our ancestors. Here's one of the children, a boy, and he is sitting at a table. He has a little notebook or journal that he has a pencil to write in. And across the table is a beautiful bird flying, and down the side of the page is a Chinese dragon that's blue with white and pale blue scales on it and red feathery things coming out of its head. There are also rabbits in this picture, and one of the rabbits is playing a guitar-like instrument. On the table next to the boy is a little wooden stand with a piece of incense burning in it. You are so colorful that no crayon box could hold you. You are books spilling from a shelf overflowing, the tales passed on and on. Now these kids are shown inside of a library. Now, you have to use your imagination on this one because the children are much smaller than the bookshelves, as if they could fit up on the shelves with the books. But you can tell that they're reading all different kinds of things. One has actually gone to sleep while he's reading. And then there are drawings all around the children that they've done of families and farms and a tiger, the dragon again, the whole world, and a bird looking at a flower. You are skateboard, balance bike, kung fu hi-ya, round ball through the hoop, rock climber, racket swinger, break dancer. You can do anything. And sure enough, all the kids in this picture are doing the things that I've just read to you. A boy in a wheelchair who's throwing a basketball up to get through the basketball hoop. And another child that's doing breakdancing with a boombox playing music. A girl that's playing tennis. A boy that's climbing a rock wall in a gym. Somebody else doing kung fu. Somebody on their skateboard. And then another child at the bottom wearing a helmet riding a bicycle. You are dragon. You are phoenix. You are elephant. You are tortoise. You are kitty cat stealing cookies from the dinner table. You are the dream, a good dream, of all those who came before. And now we see the boy who had fallen asleep in the library. He's actually still has his head down on his arms, but he's in the window at his house now. And drawn over this picture, which is showing that it's nighttime, are the shapes of those animals I just read to you. Dragon, phoenix, which is a kind of bird, elephant, turtle. But they're drawn as if they're in, you can see through them, right through them, like you would a dream. You are a song whose melody has no border. You are a song that needs no translation. You are a song we can never stop singing against the silence. You are a song that sings us, and we sing you. And now we see all these kids, and you can tell by the way they're drawn that they're either laughing or singing. And one of them is standing in red boots in a water puddle. Another one is jumping into a water puddle in their own shoes. The boy in the wheelchair is there, and he's getting ready to open an umbrella against the rain. Now, I was going to tell you a little bit about this book. The author's note. Unfortunately, anti-Asian violence is nothing new. It is part of history, usually invisible. But during the COVID-19 pandemic, the sudden attention given to anti-Asian hate crimes allowed a window into that hurt, that struggle that Asian Americans are all too familiar with. Unfortunately, many Americans of many different races did not understand that racism against Asians is something that exists. There was an erasure of our experience to go along with the violence. During that time, as a father to an Asian American child, there were so many emotions surging through me: anger, sadness, fear, resentment, exhaustion, but also a glimmer of wanting to offer something hopeful, something that said, yes, this happened to us, we must mark this history. At the same time, we must celebrate our lives, life in the multitudes of how we exist, outside the boxes that we are all squeezed into. And so, this poem to young children came into being. To those who are not Asian American, thank you for taking the time and effort to read and learn about an experience outside of your own. To Asian Americans, you are not alone, and you are loved. Thank you to the many Asian American friends who lived through this experience together and who checked in with one another during these difficult times. The End. Where Has the Moon Gone? Written by Hiroyuki Arai and illustrated by Yukiko Kobayashi. The first page inside the book has a picture of nighttime. The moon in this picture is not white like we often see it. It's very yellow, but it has those shapes on it like we can see when we look up at the moon and it's full. It almost looks like a face or something. And alongside it, or in front of it, are clouds floating, because clouds are still around at night even when we can't see them. At the bottom of the picture is the rooftop inside of a city. And two mice are crawling across the rooftop, looking at the moon. One of them has on blue jeans with suspenders, and the other one has on red pants with buttons down the side. And they're looking up at the big orangey-yellow moon. Choo-choo and Chi-Chi are two good friends. They like to walk together under the inky night sky. No matter where they went, the moon followed them. "The moon really likes us," they said to each other. One day they began to wonder where the moon goes during the daytime.
Let's go find it, said Choo-Choo.
Now we see the two mice. They're outside of a house. One of them is popping around or hopping around in the dark green grass. The other one is standing on the bottom ledge of a building. It looks like the building is made out of red blocks of clay or stone. And there are flowers growing up out of the grass and around the building.
Do you think the moon is up in that tree?
Asked Chee-Chee.
Let's climb up and take a look, said Choo-Choo.
Now they're running down a hill, grass on either side of the little pathway that they are on. There's some butterflies following them. And they can see something orange and round up in a tree. The two little mice climb up the tree, and they found that their moon was actually a yellow balloon. Now they're just standing there amazed, and the balloon is pretty big looking next to the little mice. They looked into the window next to the tree. There was something yellow and round inside the house.
Is that the moon?
They scampered along a branch and scrambled up to the window, because the tree is right next to the window of this house. They climbed into the house and saw that their moon was a big, round fruit.
Smells good. Let's eat it.
Choo-choo and Chee-Chee bit into the moon fruit. It was very tart. That means kind of sour. Maybe it's a grapefruit. The fruit is sitting on a table that was near the window. And in the back of the room, there's a cabinet that has one of its doors open, and we can see a basket with balls of yarn in it. Outside on that tree, we can still see the butterflies, and we see a pink bird. Then they spotted a gleaming yellow ball. It was peeking out from behind a long pink curtain.
The moon, said Chee-Chee.
It's smaller than I thought, said Choo-Choo.
They ran toward the curtain and pulled it back. Now, before we get to see what it really was, under the curtain, there is the ball. But the ball is sitting on something that looks like gray and white hair or fur.
Meow!
Oh, it's a cat, a big cat, and the yellow ball is a bell on the cat's collar. In this picture, the cat is enormous compared to the little mice, and it is running to catch them with its claws out, and it's yelling and meowing. Behind the curtain was an angry black cat. The two little mice ran to the window as fast as they could, but the cat was fast too. So the little mice have climbed up on a stool, and they're trying to get up onto the windowsill and get out of the window. The cat is chasing them. The angry cat's claws had almost caught them. Chee-Chee cried, "Hurry, hurry!" He grabbed the string of the big balloon and bit down hard. The cat is hanging in the tree trying to get his paw in through the window, and the two mice are up on another branch of the tree now, and the one little mouse in the blue jeans is trying to bite into the string on the end of the balloon. The two little mice started to fly.
Look at the sky, cried Choo-Choo.
Now, the balloon in this picture is a huge. It's like we were up in the sky right next to the balloon. And the string that comes down from the balloon is being held onto by the two mice. And way down below, we can see the house they were just in. It looks really tiny compared to where we are up in the sky. The moon hung brightly above them.
Moon, where have you been? Oh, it's so good to see you again.
The last picture in the book shows the night sky again with stars and clouds drifting by and the big orangey-yellow moon up in the sky. But we also see a smaller yellow-orange round shape with a string and two little mice hanging from it. The end. The Knowing by Annie D. Franco. Painted by Julia Matthew. I have a name, and my name has a story. I have a look, a sound, a smell, a shape, a size. All of these words are accompanied with pictures of a little girl with a long, dark pigtail or braid that hangs down in front of her on her red shirt. And the other pictures are people in her family. And we can tell from the look of their faces and their skin and the backgrounds that this story takes place somewhere in Asia, maybe India, because the mother is wearing the kind of top that Indian women or Pakistani women wear that is called a sari. I have a color to my hair, my skin, my eyes. The little girl's mother is braiding her hair in this picture. The mother's sari or top is a flowing dress or piece of clothing that is gold and yellow colored. And the mother has a long braid down her back, too. In the corner is a tall green pot with leaves coming out of it. But this is not all of who I am. Underneath is something more. All of these things are just what's showing. Underneath all that I know is the knowing. In this picture, the little girl and her mother are still sitting on the floor, and the little girl sees a reflection of herself in a mirror that's sitting on the floor with them. I have a favorite blanket, but it's a little torn. We're looking through a window at the girl, and she's reading a book with a blanket over her head, almost like a tent. And on the pale blue blanket is a pink patch where it's gotten torn. I have a family and a place where I was born. Her father is carrying her on his shoulders. He has thick, dark hair and a mustache, and he's wearing a green t-shirt. There's a road out in front of them and a village. It's not a very big city, with some wagons and horses and other people in the picture in the background, and a river that they're going toward. I have a favorite song and a favorite food. I have a favorite game, depending on my mood. One picture here shows a boy sitting on a bench playing a guitar, and the other picture shows some children playing jacks, the game you play with a ball and little metal pieces that look like stars almost, and you throw the ball in the air and then catch the little metal pieces before the ball touches the ground again. But this is not all of who I am. Underneath, this is something more. All of these things are just what's showing. Underneath all that I know is the knowing. And now the little girl and her dad are standing on a bridge looking down into that river that was on the page before us, and they can see fish floating around in the water. I have a life that I am here to live. I have gifts that I am here to give. The girl is lying in tall grass and lying on her back looking up towards the sky, and on the tip end of her nose is a little pink butterfly. I have friends, and with my friends, I have fun. I have a love of the wind and of the sun. Now, we only see the feet of the little girl and her friends, and one of them's riding a bicycle in part of this picture. And then on the other side of the page is the blue sky with clouds and a yellow round sun, and actually the top of telephone poles. And above the telephone poles fly different birds. Yes, I can take heart in what's showing, knowing it's all a part of the knowing. Yes, I can take part in what's showing, knowing we're all a part of the knowing. And now we see the little girl's hand reaching up and a grown-up person's hand reaching down towards her, handing her a pear. I have beliefs, and someday those beliefs might change. I have blocks that I like to arrange and rearrange. In one side of the picture, the girl's looking out of a window towards some mountains, and there is a jungle right in front of the mountains and telephone poles that we saw before, She sees stars way out there, and a round figure that may be the moon or the sun. It's hard to tell. And then on the other side of the page are many colored wooden blocks that are rectangular shaped, and some of them have a little bit of an arch cut out of them so that you could make a window or a doorway with them. And there's some that are triangles and squares. There are things that I'm told and things that I learn. There are skills I've practiced and a praise I've earned. The girl's lying on the floor with her crayons around her and paper, and she's drawing while her mother is reading from a book to her. And then on the other side of the page are the pictures that she's drawn. One of them is of her and her mother. One is of the little butterfly that we saw on her nose. And one is of her friends and the sun and a tree standing near her house. But this is not all of who I am. Underneath this is something more. All of these things are just what's showing. Here the mother is standing in one of her beautiful saris. She's hanging out clothes on the clothesline. Birds are flying across the pale blue sky. And the girl's walking towards her mom across the yard. And other plants are growing on the ground near her. And the clothes on the clothesline are many colors of pink and blue and green. All of these things are just what's showing. Underneath all that I know is the knowing. The end. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.